I asked the pawn shop man, what was those three bars doing on the wall? Hey, hey, what was those three bars doing on the wall? Well, I'm betting you 2-1, buddy, you won't get your stuff out of here at all.
Have music from Brownie McGhee. That was called the Pawn Shop Blues. Recordings being made for the Folkways record label back in the 40s and 50s there. That one from Brownie McGhee. We also heard from Blind Blake. Fine pre-war blues called the Wabash Rag. All right, got time for just a little more music. We're going to hear from Lowell Fulson next. Among his first recordings, here he is with The Blues Is Killing Me. Lowell Fulson here on the Deep Blues Hour. On WRCT, Pittsburgh.
You know the blues, mama, the blues is killing me. To be kind to you, but everything I do, you try to mistreat poor me. I got the blues. Well, the blues is killing me. Man, it won't be long before the lonesome grave that I be. Dresses, baby, I ain't gonna give you no diamond ring. I ain't gonna buy you nothing, little girl. I ain't gonna give you a doggone thing called the blues. Dog, the blues is killing me. You know it won't be long before some lonesome grave out I'll be.
Well, I took my gal to the fancy ball. It was a social hop. We danced all night till the break of daylight, just waiting for the music to stop. We walked into a restaurant. It was the finest on the street. She said, I am not hungry, and this is what she eats. She had a dozen raw, a plate of slaw, a chicken and a roast, a pair of doves, applesauce, and a soft shell crab on toast. She had a big barbecue, crackers too. Her appetite was immense. When she called for pie, I thought I would die, for I had but 50 cents. Well, you bet I was not hungry, folks. I did not care to eat, expecting at any moment to be kicked out in the street. Well, I thought if she ate this way every day, she could surely break the bank. She said, I am not thirsty, and this is what she drank. She had a glass of ale, a gin cocktail, oh, it made me shake with fear. A ginger pop, rum on the top, and a 2 schooners of beer. She had a whiskey skin, a gin martini, she should have had more sense. When she called for more, I fell on the floor, for I had but my 50 cents. Well, you bet I was not thirsty, folks, I did not care for drink, expecting at any moment to be escorted back to their sink. Well, she said she'd bring her friends around sometime, we'd all have fun. I showed that man my 50 cents, and this is what he'd done. He smashed my nose, tore my clothes, punched me on my jaw. Well, he grabbed me by my collar, and he threw me out his door. He grabbed me where my pants was loose, and he kicked me through his fence. Take my advice, don't try it twice if you have but 50 cents.
Company's here. Our company, that is. Hello. This is Larry Berger, along with Ricky Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh. Tune in, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and other streaming services, including directly from slbradio.org. A lot happening today. I just mentioned Keyser, West Virginia. We will preview the city's sesquicentennial with Cindy Piles at 8:20 this morning Eastern. Singer-songwriter Brad Yoder is going to pop in at 9:30. He has a new CD we'll talk about. At 10 o'clock, teen songwriter Addison Alexander, an 11th grader, joins us. At 10:35, we have a range of teens that just finished Prize Academy and their summer program, which is a program for refugees here that have resettled in Pittsburgh. You'll get a chance to learn from them. And at 11 o'clock, Mark Tamsula, Richard Withers, Barbara Rossner, and Dave Christie, the Snappin' Bug String Band with old-time music, all on today's Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks for meeting us here for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start.
Cat's got the measles and dog's got the whooping cough. Cat's got measles and the dog's got the whooping cough. Doggone any woman, let man be her boss. Doggone my time. Well, thought I heard knocking deep down in the ground. Thought I heard
Kathy Fink getting us started on today's Saturday Light Brigade. Hello to Mike and Mars. And good morning to Dust Bowl Jack in Warren, Ohio. And hello to you. We are live in the studio. I was thinking this morning how less and less radio is live these days. Even shows that seem like they're live aren't necessarily live. And we are here live, and in just a moment, we'll give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge and interact with us live and in real time. Also, hello to Mark. Nice to have you tuned in today. Last weekend, Fat Man D was here, and what a great time we had celebrating Vocalese together. If you missed that feature, you can stop by slbradio.org and take a look in our catalog and hear it again. I mention that because since I saw you last, Ricky and I had a rare night out on the town last Saturday to hear George Johnson Jr., Fat Man D, Isai Alico, Wind of Fire, Butterball, Benjamin May, Joe Hodges, and more. What a great evening of jazz that was. Also, last week, our songwriters retreat camp took place. We had about a dozen students who were here writing songs and creating. One day I walked in and each one of them was at one of our music workstations with headphones on, working on a personal composition, and the sound in the room of the cacophony of what everybody was doing, they could only hear themselves. I could hear all of them. It was just incredible to listen to. We also, sadly, bid so long to Walt Cotta, who has been a terrific intern from Carlo University throughout the summer. He'll be back, though, I hope. We made some improvements on the studio in which I sit that have been continuing for a while, updating our headphone systems and soon our live music system. A great solar concert with the Myla Shadell Trio took place, and we also had a chance to meet with the Benedum Foundation about some work that we're doing together. So I hope you had a good week. A busy one for us, and it's now time to give you an opportunity to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. It's time for us to offer this morning's pop quiz. Are you ready? Let's get to it. And our pop quiz is a scrambled word puzzle this week. Take these letters, P-A-S-T, P-A-S-T, E-I-G-H-T, P-A-S-T, E-I-G-H-T. That works out to be past eight. Past eight. Now, that is not the a clue at all. It's just a way to make sure you got the letters correct. P-A-S-T-E-I-G-H-T. Can you rearrange those letters into one nine-letter word? If you can, I hope you will share your answer with us. Phone us or text us at 412-200-5900. 877-412-200-5975. A Saturday Light Brigade charge awaits you. That is this morning's pop quiz. Good luck. David Llewellyn and Ida Kristen with this duet.
First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and empty skies, my love. To the dark and empty skies.
The first time ever I kissed your mouth and felt your heart to mine, like the trembling heart of a captive bird that was there at my command, my love, that was there.
Darkest before the dawn, the
thoughts keep us moving on
through all this world of joy and sorrow. We still can have singing tomorrows through all this world of joy and sorrow. We still can have singing tomorrows.
God keeps me moving on.
If we could heed these early warnings, the time is now quite early morning. If we could heed these early warnings, the time is now quite early morning.
That is Magpie at the Saturday Light Brigade and Quite Early Morning. And first time ever I saw your face, David Llewellyn and Ida Kristen. Bob in Washington just got the correct answer to this morning's pop quiz, challenging you to rearrange the letters in past 8, E-I-G-H-T, to form a single 9-letter word. Here's a hint. The word ends in I and begins with S. A correct answer. Also coming in, I believe, from Kathy and Terry. Good morning. And here is the 70-year-old Larry in Elwood City. I'm glad you're awake, even after a long night. Good morning. Larry had a birthday party last night. I wish I could have made it. Ricky and I were both thinking about you. John in Economy Borough got the correct answer, as did Little Tommy, by way of Tommy, in McCandless, or Tom in McCandless. A correct answer also coming in from Ross and Sharon. And King in North Carolina, Jim in Crafton Heights, got the correct answer, so did Tommy in Bethel Park. Linda and Collier, half of the dynamic duo, also got it, so did Kathy in Tyonesta. Tommy in Virginia has it as the Sioux in South Park. And Mark came up with it as well. Mark and Mary Jean are in Irwin. Past 8, as Jeff in Squirrel Hill soon realized, works out. Oh, here's Barbara, who just got the correct answer in Highland Park. And Mike just got it, too. Past 8, when rearranged, becomes the word spaghetti. Spaghetti. A Saturday Light Brigade charge to you. if you got it.
Spaghetti all over the place. Up to my elbows, up to my face, over the carpet, under the chairs, into the hammock, wound round the stairs, filling the bathtub, covering the desk, making the sofa a mad, mushy mess. The party is ruined. I'm terribly worried. The guests have all left, unless they're all buried. I told them, bring presents. I said, throw confetti. I guess they heard me wrong. They all threw spaghetti.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ooh, oh, oh. Ooh, my. Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it makes you want to cry. But this is a laughing song. A song for all the little kids who don't like broccoli. Some of you don't like your corn, but you love your meatballs. So this is what we call a meatball story. Yes, a meatball story. And this friend of mine, his name was James Weldon Eldorado McMeatball. I'm going to say that again. James Weldon Eldorado McMeatball. Good old boy, good friend of mine. I loved him dearly, but you know, James, he had a coat that he wore all the time. Everywhere you see James, he had this coat on. He loved the coat so much, he named the coat. He called the coat Tomato. Tomato sauce, yes. When you see James, you saw his coat Tomato sauce. There comes James and his coat Tomato sauce. Well, this is a little short story about James and his coat Tomato sauce. So take a listen, if you will. On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese, I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed. It rolled off the table and onto the floor, and then my poor meatball rolled out of the door. It rolled in the garden and under a bush, and then my poor meatball was nothing but mush. So if you like spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to your meatball when somebody sneezes. Oh, I said, if you like spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to that meatball when somebody sneezes. Yeah, on top of spaghetti all covered with cheese, I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed. It rolled off the table and onto the floor, and then my poor meatball rolled out of the door. It rolled into the garden and under a bush, and then my poor meatball was nothing but mush. If you like spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to your meatball when your mommy sneezes. Yeah, if you like spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to your meatball when somebody sneezes. Yeah, yeah, if you like spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to your meatball when your mommy sneezes.
The Persuasions here at the Saturday Light Brigade, and the great Shel Silverstein. Before him, congratulations again if you came up with spaghetti. I missed a few correct answers that came in just as I was acknowledging them. Susie in Alexandria, good morning. to you. And Rick and Georgette, hello. They are in Mooresville, North Carolina, with a request. I should have read your email fully, Rick. My apologies for that. He said, please, this is a surprise. It's so much of a surprise that it will be the next song, but I wonder what song it might be. A little while ago, I was telling you how everything we do here is live. There's a good example of that. Susan, or it might be the other Susan, got the correct answer. And Mike also got it. You're listening to the show that gets Rick and Georgette's weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions. The Saturday Light Brigade with sand in my shoes. Our Hysteriddle is coming up. I just happened to notice it's World Lion Day today. Who knew? And according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest lion that we know of weighed 690 pounds. That's a lot of lying, isn't it?
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle's free weekly newsletter is available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Thanks if you took a moment to leave a review of the Saturday Light Brigade and our programs at SLB Radio. At Great Nonprofits, we have maintained our top-rated nonprofit status for 2024. Your reviews mean the world to us and help show other believers and funders that you believe in our work. If you haven't had a moment to leave a review, you can still do so at tinyurl.com/myslbreview. tinyurl.com/myslbreview. Hello to Bill in Homer City, a request for you coming up shortly. Now it's time for this morning's history riddle. He was born in 1927 near Yuma, Arizona. March 31st was the date. On August 10th, 2000, the California legislature approved a bill making his birthday a holiday in the state. He received this honor for work he started in the 1950s with a group called the Community Service Organization and his efforts to help co-workers in the field achieve a better life through public boycotts and education. If you know the answer, you can reach us at 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. Did I say hello to Stu and McCandless? Hello, Stu. Thank you for texting us earlier. He was born in 1927 near Yuma, Arizona. March 31st was the date. On August 10th, 2000, the California legislature approved a bill making his birthday a holiday in the state. He received this honor for work he started in the 1950s with a group called the Community Service Organization and his efforts to help co-workers in the field achieve a better life through public boycotts and education. 412-200-5975. Good luck. As requested by Bill, Alison Krauss and Gillian Welch together. Sure, I'll fly away.
fly away. No more cold iron shackles on my feet. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away.
Out on the 4 lane, a mile or more away. The whining of its wheels just makes it colder. Just an hour away from writing your prayers up in the sky. 10 days on the road, barely gone. There's a fire burning, supper on the stove, but it's the light in your eyes that makes me warm. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this old phone feels like a long lost friend.
What's the latest thing neighbors say? And your mother called last Friday. Sunshine made her cry. I felt the baby move just yesterday. And all the time that I can lay this time, oh, body now, feel your fingers
places that I live for, the love that lights my way, the happiness that living with you brings me. It's the sweetest thing I know of, just spending time with you. It's the little things that make a house a home. Like a fire softly burning, supper on the stone, and the light in your eyes that makes me warm. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this old phone feels like a long lost.
Joanne Bradley, along with Special Consensus. And I think Mike Cleveland is in there, too. Back Home Again by request for Susie in Alexandria, who is back home again, and Bill in Homer City requested Alison Krauss doing I'll Fly Away. The version played there included Gillian Welch from the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. Hello to Barbara, and also good morning to Ron in Highland Park and Edgewood, respectively. Rick and Georgette, thank you for your kind note just now. John in Economy Borough got the correct answer to our history riddle. So did Bob in Freedom. And the aforementioned Susie in Alexandria. Joy also got it. Listening in Washington with husband Bob. Tom and McCandless got it as well. So did Rich in Freeport. And Russ, I'm glad you enjoyed hearing Back Home Again. Here quickly is the history again for you. He was born in 1927 near Yuma, Arizona. March 31st was the date on August 10th, 2000, the California legislature approved a bill making his birthday a holiday in the state. He received this honor for the work he started in the 1950s with a group called the Community Service Organization and his efforts to help co-workers in the field achieve a better life through public boycotts and education. Hello to Holly in Oakland, who got the correct answer. And here is Bruce in Ingram. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Thank you. Busy, busy week, but a good week, all in all.
That's good. A good kind of busy.
Yes, it's a good kind of busy. That's the way that question gets answered a lot. How are you? Busy, we say. Busy with what? I sometimes don't know, but oh my goodness!
I know you're busy.
Busy in a good way. You would have loved seeing all of the emerging songwriters in the Youth Media Center this week. In fact, one of them will be here during our Youth Express segment later today. But they were really inspiring and it just lovely to see what they were doing.
Well, it's terrific. You can say a lot. You could say a lot more in a 3-minute song than you could probably do any other way.
Absolutely. Isn't that the truth? I was thinking about that the other day. It's amazing how tight a message can be conveyed that way.
Well, yeah, music has been used all over in all kinds of different ways.
Including organizing, right?
And, oh, absolutely.
And who is it that we're looking for?
Cesar Chavez.
You are correct. And do you know much about him?
Well, I know basically what you said in history. At all, he was involved with the growers generally in California, but he did branch out into other, other related fields. And that's about it, really.
Yeah, he, was first generation American, born March 31st, 1927, and he saw his family lose their farm during the Great Depression, and as a result, they became migrant farm workers, and he learned about the plight of farm workers. He was in the U.S. Navy in 1946 in the aftermath of World War II, serving in the Western Pacific, and then he came back in 1948. And he got married to Helen Fabella, who he met while working in the field. And most people first got to know about him when he began organizing in 1952 and formed the Community Service Organization. And after 10 years, eventually he formed the United Farm Workers. So a very important figure.
Yeah, and I think he was campaigning with Bobby Kennedy out in California, too.
Yes. In fact, President Kennedy had offered to make him head of the Peace Corps, and he turned down the job. And instead, he took a life of self-imposed poverty.
Yeah, I think he also kind of started kind of a commune somewhere in California.
Yes, I'm reading. He never earned more than a paltry wage, and he never owned a house. And when he died at 66 in 1993, left no money behind. He lived a very meager lifestyle in order to make a statement and to support his work.
Yeah, I think in a way he kind of modeled himself after Gandhi.
Yeah, interesting person. And a couple people wrote. Barbara mentioned that she first learned of him when her older brother-in-law, back in the day, would not buy or eat table grapes. And I remember the boycott grapes movement quite well from that era. And then Ron in Edgewood writes that his law office represented Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers during the grape and lettuce boycotts in the late 70s when the United Farm Workers sent organizers to Pittsburgh. So that's kind of neat.
That is kind of neat. That's kind of neat to know. I didn't realize he had, like, their reach had been so great.
Yeah, really a phenomenal person. And today in multiple states, not just California, but in a number of states, it's a day in Cesar Chavez's honor.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that.
So, well done. Thanks, Bruce. Well,
thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon. And Dust Bowl Jack is here. Good morning, Dust Bowl.
Good morning.
It's always, I'm doing fine. It's always a little thunder stealing to go second, but you knew the correct answer as well. And
good old Cesar Chavez.
Yeah, he really cared about the plight of. I always think about the movie Grapes of Wrath with Tom Joad and that character really portraying the men and women and sadly children who served and still serve occasionally on farms so that we have food to eat.
Yes, that still goes on quite a bit, too, and it's very necessary because otherwise the crops will sit out there and just disintegrate, you know. So it's, they perform a great task to serve America and, you know, in this country here.
Yeah, it's we take our food for granted, don't we? You know, where does you can ask it all depends, but you could say, "Where do you know where these grapes came from?" Yeah, they came from a giant eagle, you know, or a food land, or some other store. Without our thinking, well, they came from a farm, and somebody had to do this, and there's a lot of people working to try to make sure that kids, especially, have a better understanding of that. But there's a lot to undo and relearn. I sound like an old man, don't I? We have to think about where our food comes from.
You sound like one. I am one.
Well, I'm glad you got the right answer. Now, I love grapes. We eat grapes a lot. Generally, I'm a green grape person. Do you have a preference for grapes?
Yeah, I prefer the green grapes. And we had the cherry season was recently here, and I enjoyed some good cherries. I like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about cherries this morning. Actually, it's funny you should say that. Nothing quite like freshly picked cherries.
Yep.
Well, a charge to you. You were about to say.
Yeah, we had Tuesday. We had a rather torrid weather day up here. We had a couple of tornadoes in Trumbull County in this area, and at one point there in this township called Champion, there was in the county, 10,000 people without power due to trees falling down on the power lines.
I saw that. I didn't connect that with where you are. Were you one of them?
No. No, it was farther north there where the worst part of these basically the high winds. I don't know if they really came down and did the churning routine, but there was some 75 mile an hour winds and stuff like that going on up in Champion, and there were some places around here that they brought some trees down, and in Youngstown too, they lost some trees there and fell on some houses and that and cars, so it was pretty tough Tuesday there and. Then I moved over to Pennsylvania and did some churning over there. But the irony was that the weather guy in Youngstown was saying, you know, he says, this tracking right here is the same area where the tornadoes were, the tornadoes back in 1985, where they destroyed a plaza and went over to Wheatland, Pennsylvania, and did a lot of damage over there, too, in 1985.
I remember that. Wow. And he was saying that, and he ended up sort of predicting, relating it to that, and it happened once again.
It wasn't as extensive as it was in 85, but it was the same, basically the same direction on the road that it followed over there. North of Interstate 80.
Yeah, if the 1985 incident is the one I'm remembering, a shopping center in Beaver County lost its roof during that event, and I'm pretty sure that's the same storm.
Yes.
I was working in Beaver County at the time, and I remember seeing the destruction. If you're anywhere near where a tornado or a hurricane goes through and you take a look at the aftermath, it's something how precise the pattern can be.
Yeah, I was at home when it hit, and I didn't have a garage, and I had my my vehicle sitting out in the yard there, and I said, "Oh, look at the hail coming down there, beating putting things over the hood of my GMC Jimmy."
Oh my goodness!
Fortunately for that, the back part of it was a fiberglass. Half of the roof was fiberglass, and didn't hurt that a bit. But I got some things on the hood there from the hail on that side. On the north side of the trail, and the other side is where the traumatic torrid high winds and rip things apart down there in Niles and Wheatland and up in the Hermitage chair.
Wow.
Tearing the trees up. But it was pretty extensive. Oh, one guy told me one time his family lived down in Wheatland, so they wanted to go down there and see what it looked like. So he took his mother down there and they drove down there and he opened the car door and says, "I smell natural gas. We need to get out of here."
Oh, my goodness. That's
the houses and more important gas lines were so open, you know. So one little ignition of a flame would have pretty well caused a big explosion down there. But he did the right thing. He just got his family back in the car and went back up in the Sharon and got away from the possible hazard there. So
yeah, that's fortunate. You don't want to take a chance at all with anything like that. Well done, Dust Bowl. A charge to you, and stick around. Another chance is coming up in just a couple minutes. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT, Pittsburgh, WIUP, FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, Ohio, WSAJ, FM, Grove City, WCUC, FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW, LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, and SLBRadio.org.
I got too much stuff. I got way more shoes than it's possible to use. I got too much stuff. I've got a myriad of devices and way too many vices. I've got no recollection of ever starting this collection, and I guess my innate curiosity combined with sheer fastidiosity reached escape velocity, determining my ultimate direction. Upon reflection, I can't ignore my obvious predilection for too much stuff. I've got multiple containers full of colanders and strainers. I got too much stuff. I've got various vessels filled with mortars and pestles. It's a real mess, I'll tell you. Probably started as a child, collecting bottle caps and stands, gradually over time, grew to keyboards, guitars, and amps. I never saw myself as a hoarder with an order disorder, but after the court order, I concluded I was clearly on the border. I got too much stuff. I admit it's almost comical. It's certainly not economical. I got too much stuff. Once tried to keep a chronicle, storage fees alone were astronomical. My friend said it's a symptom, some deep-seated neurosis, so I went to a shrink for a professional psych diagnosis. I said to him, "Doc, give it to me straight. What's my likely prognosis?" He scheduled me for 52.